The School of Fantasy. J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis changed the world of fantasy writing forever. But did you know these two literary giants were also Oxford professors and friends?
For a genre that suggests it is all about imagination, fantasy can be surprisingly formulaic. Fantasy stories are often set in a world resembling medieval England, where people ride horses and fight with swords. It's common to find kings and queens, castles and nobles, and a beautiful green homeland threatened by outside forces of darkness. There are good characters and evil ones, often with nothing much in between. And, until recently, the hero was inevitably a white man. Why is it always like this? Because, in the 1930s, in perhaps the most successful cultural project of recent history, two men decided that is how it should be. J.R.R. Tolkien, the future creator of The Lord of the Rings, and C.S. Lewis, who would write The Chronicles of Narnia, had much in common. They were devout Christians, friends, and co-founders of a writers' discussion group, the Inklings, which met each week in a pub called The Eagle and Child in Oxford. Both men taught English literature at the city's prestigious university and shared a horror of America's growing influence on world culture, and literature in particular. America represented modernism and materialism. It was secular, multicultural, and, at this time, increasingly feminist. Tolkien, the traditionalist, considered this Americo-cosmopolitanism very terrifying, and at one point, during the Second World War, even wondered if it wouldn't be better for Britain's mind and spirit if Nazi Germany won. But how could two lone men resist the cultural influence of a mighty superpower and defend the old values upon which they believed Britain was founded? Firstly, they set out to influence the younger generation by writing children's books that were suffused with a belief in magic and the moral code found in old English texts such as the Arthurian legends and the epic poem Beowulf. They saw magic as essential in the stories, as it opened young minds to the possibility of spiritualism and, therefore, Christianity. Similarly, their Christian sense of good and evil is a key element. In Lewis's Narnia, the lion Aslan is clearly an avatar for Jesus Christ. Visually, their fantasy worlds, Middle-earth and Narnia, are based on the British countryside, from the fertile green hills of the south to the brutal mountains of the Scottish Highlands. And they both include all those other medieval elements that would become central to fantasy as other authors began to write books in the genre. Secondly, they mentored many of that next generation of writers. In 1931, Tolkien and Lewis were the creators of the English Literature course at Oxford University, and they gave it a heavy focus on the Old and Middle English texts they loved. For the next 40 years, while other universities offered literature courses that came up almost to the present day, Oxford students were kept firmly in the past, reading nothing written later than 1832. This produced a generation of Oxford-educated authors whose imaginations had been influenced by those same medieval works. Tolkien and Lewis could not have imagined the success of their resistance against modernism. Today, fantasy is the best-selling genre in literature and still using many of the same medieval English tropes that they instilled. But, despite the success of their project, they'd no doubt be horrified by how much sex and violence the genre offers these days. Ironically, fantasy, too, has become Americanized. One of the last students to attend Oxford before their literature course was modernized in the 1970s was Philip Pullman, author of the His Dark Materials trilogy. While His Dark Materials owes much to Narnia, it attacks the religious conservatism that Lewis championed. And Pullman's epic starts in a fantasy version of the University of Oxford, where new ideas are suppressed as dangerous by dogmatic teachers, something which looks a lot like an attack on Tolkien and Lewis's efforts to control culture's natural evolution.